Hello, everybody. Buncey's Boxing Podcast back at William Hill for another look at some great fights this weekend. Pleasure to have you on board again, Buncey. You well?
Yes. Well, people keep asking me if I'm well, and I say, well, listen, we've got Amir Khan on the undercard of Mayweather in Las Vegas, and we got George Groves, and we got Carl Froch in front of 80,000 people, 28 days apart. Am I well? I'm in heaven.
It's going to be great, isn't it? The latest instalment of the Froch-Groves roadshow in the build-up was on Ringside on Sky Thursday night, last night as we record this.
Yep.
Bit of a role reversal, Buncey, on there, on Ringside. The Cobra playing it cool, and the Saint got a little bit riled, it seemed, didn't it? It's a really interesting dynamic, these two got, isn't it?
Yeah, well, obviously that was Carl having spoken to a sports psychologist.
Yes.
And basically the first thing the psychologist told him, don't take the bait.
Yeah.
And he didn't. Mm. But you could see it was hard.
Oh, yes.
And then George
sucking his teeth all the time.
And what happened is that because of the way the seats were positioned, George couldn't see that Carl was furious underneath, because George tried his best not to look at Carl. So all he heard was Carl's words. If he'd have nodded his head, he would have seen Carl was seething underneath. So then George tried too hard to get a rise, and led to 5 or 6 KO blow replies from Froch.
Yeah.
Froch has never ever bested somebody in a verbal exchange, and it's not his style. But last night he was like Oscar Wilde. It was beautiful. Froch pounded him, I've got to say, as they say in the world of mixed martial arts. He gave him a pounding.
Yeah, there was a really strange moment. I don't know if anyone caught this at the end of the whole thing. I mean, I thought the program was really interesting. I thought the bit where they talked about the kind of the psychology, I thought it was quite near the knuckle when the two guys just sat right there and they're being dissected by some expert in inverted commas.
But anyway, I agree with you.
It was a bit uncomfortable, that, really. But at the end, and there was a moment, I think the one you're referring to, when Groves, he got a very perplexed look on his face after Froch had got the upper hand in one of the exchanges. And that was the freeze frame they finished on. The whole programme was just this look of Groves looking kind of like lost all of a sudden. It was a strange old show, really.
Because that show's edited, remember?
Yes, of course. That's what I mean, yeah.
I don't think it did George any favours, the editing. Now, I'm not saying it's biased. I'm just saying I don't think it did. That's not a criticism of Ringside. We've got to be careful, because in the past when we've said things, they've been on the phone, the bosses there, and are very upset with us. So it's not a criticism.
They don't ring me, by the way. They ring Buncey.
Yeah, exactly. They don't ring you, by the way. They ring me. Just to say, yeah, you're right. There was just that 1 second freeze at the end on George's face. Yeah.
Interesting.
No, I don't think that was intentional.
No, probably not.
I just think that it's a massive show, and they had to get it out quick, and they only have a couple of hours to edit it down to 60 minutes and make it look slick. So that's not a criticism, absolutely. That's standard. It's just, listen, I've seen stuff when I've done pre-records and it comes out of me looking like a leftover from The Walking Dead. I don't complain. You just have to bite it.
Just on the fight itself, the odds haven't changed much. Some people keep asking me, and I keep saying, I think Froch, but can I reserve judgment until the night before, please? Because I don't want to be pinned down right now.
Well,
too much can happen. What do you think at the minute?
Well, you know, I fancied Froch the first time, and I fancy Froch the second time. I think they're both going to be really hard. So the first fight, apart from the knockdown in the first round, was exactly the fight I envisaged—a really hard, hard fight. With neither of them being with it being tight, you know, as it was closing down, and I see it being the same this way. I think George could win. I just fancy Froch this time. I just fancy we might see a different Froch. We might see a bit more of the controlled Froch that beat Kessler, maybe even the one that beat Abraham. But at the same time, that doesn't mean if Groves wins, I got it completely wrong. And I agree with you. I often do that, hold back judgment. In fact, so much so that there's several fights in history that I can clearly thinking it was going to be the winner was going to be A, and then in the 48 hours before a fight, changing drastically to the winner being B. Because you see things, you discover things. Like, for instance, Nassim Hamed against Marco Antonio Barrera. For me, it was Naz. And then, like, in the 36 hours, 50 hours before the fight, you realise that there was no chance. Naz shouldn't have been in the ring.
Yeah.
And ditto things like another big one, Tyson and Lennox Lewis. I honestly thought Tyson had a good chance. I thought Tyson was nailed on. And
right,
then, literally, the 2 days before, day before, you realise that this guy was a wreck, Tyson.
Mm.
He was shot to bits. You know, he was using
stuff to make his hair dark. He was finished. He was gone. He had no chance. No chance whatsoever. And so, consequently, you switch around. Now, for 5 or 6 weeks, I'd been thinking it was Lennox. So I do reserve the right, like you. I mean, if on the Thursday of the press conference and the weigh-in, if I see different things, I could easily change.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. And there'll be lots of build-up to enjoy. Let's have a look at this weekend's fights then. And what a weekend for Box Nation. This Mayweather bill looks absolutely fantastic. Any fight with Mayweather involved in it, obviously, is superb. But Amir Khan on the undercard, of course. You also got Adrian Broner against Carlos Molina. You also got Anthony Ogogo and got Ashley Theophane as well on the bill. Promises to be an absolute cork. I've just had an email, Buncey, actually, a little bit of a plug for Box Nation, saying this is, you get a, if you sign up before this weekend fights, you get a free month. I think it's, check it out on the website, but I think you type in pound for pound with a four in the middle, and you get,
that's good.
You effectively get a free month, which takes you up to pretty close to Fury against Chisora, I'd imagine.
Absolutely.
As well.
That's a good advertising tool, that one. Yeah, I like that. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, decent. So check it out on the Box Nation website, and it's plastered all over the front page there, so you can have a look at it. A quick word before we get on to the really big fights. A quick word about Anthony Ogogo and Ashley Theophane's fights. Ogogo was on ringside, the show that we've already mentioned, and spoke... Yep. Ever so eloquently, didn't he? And he's just a great young guy. And what an experience for him to be out there on this card, fighting a guy who he gave a great preview himself, actually, Janelle Tapia, who's got some good amateur class behind him. He's fought eight times, won eight times, knocked five of his opponents out. He has lost four and been stopped four times himself. So a winnable fight, but a good one for him to dip his toe in the glamorous world of Las Vegas.
Yeah, well, what I think the matchmakers have done here is they've given Ogogo someone that will come to fight, and the plan is that he changes those statistics to Janelle Tapia 1-8, lost 5, all by stoppage, and because it's memorable. If he wins too many times in Britain, we have a 4-round or 6-round, an unbeaten guy has a simple 4-round, it doesn't break sweat against a guy losing for the 58th time in a row. And it vanishes. You can't even remember it happened. So I think what's happened here is that he poses a bit of a threat, Tapia, in the sense that he stopped a few. But he shows his vulnerability in the sense that he gets done every time he moves up. And he's been done four times all quick, if I'm not mistaken. So that gives Ogogo the perfect platform to get involved, get caught, and then stop the other guy. Exactly what it is. Because he will not, even though the place will be nearly empty, he will still feel that buzz, and that will put him under pressure. Mm. You know, he's boxed in the Olympic semi-finals, don't get me wrong, but he's been in Vegas for a week, and I was writing about it in today's Independent. Vegas is a draining place. Ricky talks about, in the build-up to fights, how suddenly on the day of the fight, you found you've got no energy. It's not the jet lag. You've been there 10 days, 12 days. You're just drained by Vegas. Everything takes so long. Just getting from your room on the 58th floor to the hotel lobby, from the hotel lobby to a taxi, from the taxi to the gym, that can take an hour and a half. It just all takes so long, Lee, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just getting together on the 58th floor with six other guys who are on the 95th floor and the 58th floor and the 48th floor to meet down in the lobby, then to get from there to the taxi queue where you've got a queue for 15, 20 minutes because it's the evening, to get in a car to go and eat, can take an hour and a half before you even order any food. It drains you. Now, Ogogo sucking it in, enjoying all of it. That's his one flaw, is he doesn't find himself in the first bell going, wow, I'm absolutely knackered. I'm playing crackers. I haven't even thrown a punch yet. He'll get to Janelle Tapia, and it'll be a glorious, unforgettable night for him in Vegas.
Yeah. The other, I mentioned Ashley Theophane, now based out in the States. He's kind of one of those fighters who you thought was going to go places, and hasn't really happened for him. Is he now on the... the fight he's got here against Angino Perez, we haven't got odds on that. I was just interested in his journey, really, Buncey, I suppose.
Well, you know, in all fairness, he was overmatched last time he fought on the Mayweather belt, whenever it was, September. He got managed to get a split, but he lost hands down, to be honest with you. I don't know how that guy gave it, one of the judges gave it to him. He's not getting any younger.
No, 33 now, isn't he? Yeah.
He's always talked a great fight. Yeah. I mean, you know, but he's also said some silly things. I think he won the British title and talked about how, you know, he wouldn't be defending it. It would mean nothing. He ended up losing it. To Darren Hamilton, surrendering it basically. He's not being looked after match wise here. I mean, you know, let's get it right. Mayweather's many things. He's not a matchmaker and promoter. He managed to get Badu Jack knocked out. All Badu Jack had to do was sit on his bum, and he would have fought James DeGow in a final eliminator for the WBC title. Instead, he travelled 3,000 miles across America and got smashed to bits in New York. Made no sense whatsoever. So Mayweather, I don't think, is looking after his pal here. Angelina Perez. He's stopped 13 of his 15 opponents. He can get down, and he does get beat when he moves up. But he's got a bit of form. And I'll be honest with you, I think this is a hard fight for Ashley. I think it'd be a good fight to watch. But not easy. Not easy at all. Yeah. And in all fairness, he's been a good servant, Ashley Fearfane, of boxing. But most of what we think of Ashley Fearfane is because he gets given so much coverage because he's inside the Mayweather camp. The bottom line is he lost to Darren Hamilton, who then lost to Curtis Woodhouse, who a few months earlier had been knocked out by Derry Matthews.
Yeah, form lines don't look good, do they?
No, exactly. Yeah. So, and form lines, what it's all about.
Yeah.
So, you know, you may be in the middle of the Mayweather camp, but let's not imagine that that he's a crucial member of that team. And I've read plenty of his diaries and blogs from there. As far as I can work out, he hasn't given out one trade secret. I just think people are afraid to say, actually, he's not telling us anything we don't know. Guess what? Mayweather trains harder than any fighter in the world. Guess what? He sweats a lot. Guess what? When he hits the bag, we all have to count his punches. Wow. I mean, there's no Pulitzer Prize coming his way, is there?
No.
So, I think it's a hard fight. Yeah. I think Fear and Perez are a hard fight. And I don't think the people are looking after him. And I've seen how little some of the people are getting on the bill. So you have to assume that he's getting less. For instance, the kid who's fighting Adrian Broner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carlos Molina, yeah.
Yeah, Carlos Molina, if I'm not mistaken, is getting $150,000, okay?
Oh, okay?
Right, so he's getting $150,000 for fighting in the third fight. In fact, the Americans would argue the second fight on pay-per-view. So if you extrapolate from that, take it down, I'd be amazed if Ashley Fearfane's making $30,000.
Mm, yeah.
$30,000. Mayweather said, I can spend $1 million a month for the rest of my life and still have money left over. And one of his best friends is making about £18,000 fighting on the undercard. Hey, go figure.
Yeah. That Adrian Broner fight, 1-33 to beat Carlos Molina, 10-1 the price for Molina. So that one's pretty much an open and shut case. Let's have a look at Amir Khan's return to the ring, shall we? He doesn't pick easy ones, does he? Or they don't pick easy ones for him, shall I say?
Thank you. Listen, he was offered three fights.
Yeah.
One was Robert Guerrero. It couldn't be made. Guerrero's having some problems. The other was Adrian Broner. It didn't make any cash sense, and Broner looking at another route. And the other one was Colazzo. It's been forced on him, if you want to know the honest truth. It's been forced on him because of the promises of a fight with Mayweather down the line.
What a price.
Not an easy fight.
Big fan of Amir Khan, in and out of the ring. I think he conducts himself fantastically. He never involved in a poor fight. Obviously, you know, he's when we look back at his career now, it's littered with some big mistakes in there and some great fights. 4-11 he is to beat Luis Colazzo, who's 2-1. The draw is 25-1. Got prices on the method of result, the group round betting, the individual rounds. We'll go through those in a minute with Buncey. The record, 28 wins for Amir Khan. He's stopped 19 of his opponents. He's lost three times. He's been stopped twice, of course. He was stopped by Danny Garcia in the fourth round in his last defeat. Since then, he's beaten Carlos Molina and he's also beaten Julio Diaz. That was way back in April of 2013. His opponent then, who fights out of Queens, he's born in Brooklyn. So, you know, the stereotypical view there would be that he's a tough guy anyway. Beat Victor Ortiz last time out. He's fought all sorts of great names. He's fought Andre Berto and lost on a unanimous decision. He fought Ricky Hatton way back in 2006 and lost on a unanimous decision, but went the distance with Ricky Hatton. One of the cards only had it by a point in that one. I mean, he's fought Shane Mosley, lost on a unanimous decision. There's a theme here, isn't there? When he steps up to world level, he gets found out. But he goes a distance. They say he can punch, Buncey. I mean, that's the kind of kryptonite for Amir Khan, isn't it?
Well, and listen, not only can he punch, he's a good fighter. He's an avoided fighter. You know, he goes under the radar and you sort of think he's either retired or he's somewhere in the middle of nowhere getting shellackings, getting beatings. He's not. He's still very much a live fighter. He's had some well-documented problems with booze, depression, suicide, all that sort of, you're thinking of considering suicide. So he's been low. He's been down. And right now, I think it's a really hard fight. I'm staggered by those odds. And I haven't spoken to anybody who I trust who thinks it's less than a 50-50.
Right.
And in fact, several people I've spoken to fancy Colatto. I think the break, believe it or not, would have helped Amir as a boxing table last year. He's been in the gym a lot with Virgil Hunter, which is what Virgil Hunter, who looks after Andre Ward, demands. He demands his fighters are in the gym when they're not fighting. Well, I think it's a really hard fight. And if Khan is carrying any ring rust, any hesitancy, I think that Colatto will win if that's the case. However, I think Khan, who I spoke to earlier this week, sounds really calm, really relaxed. And I think he's believing in the words he's saying. He's not just rotating through different, you know, cards, index cards with positive things written on them. I think also, at last, he's going to feel really strong and relaxed, not weight drained. And not in any way weight drained. He hasn't had to eat up to 147. He's been up there for a long while. He's had to train down to it. I think he's going to be comfortable. I think he's going to be strong. I mean, we might see a very good Khan. And I think Khan will win. But I'm staggered. I'm staggered by how wide the bookies seem to have it.
Yeah, yeah. Would you be looking at a points win for Khan?
I would be looking for a points win for Khan, but I'd be looking for a stoppage by Colatto.
Yeah, Amir Khan by decision is even money, so that's what the bookies are fancy as well. Colatto by stoppage is 4-1. Fight to go the distance is odds on. It's 4-6 for it to go the full 12 rounds. If Colatto was to stop him, when do you think it would happen, Buncey?
I think it would happen mid to late, not too early, not too late. I don't see it being in the first four rounds. I don't see it being in the last four.
Round 7-9 then, that's 14-1 for Colatto to stop him in round 7-9. 14-1, and that tends to be when, you know, maybe the concentration slips a little bit. The worry is, I mean, you know, all those things you said about Khan, we just really hope that's true, but so often he seems to forget the game plan when he gets in there, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
There's nothing to prove. The price is ludicrous, isn't it? When you can't trust, you have 11 to 4 on, you have 110 quid on to win 40. I mean, you can't can you?
No, you
can't trust Khan to do that.
No, not at all. I mean, I fancy Khan on points. Yeah, I fancy Khan I fancy Khan on the even money, and maybe we'll find some accumulator money, but that's what I fancy.
Yeah, fair enough.
But a hard fight, a really hard fight.
Yeah, a good one as well. Any idea what time that's on yet, Buncey? I mean, I'm presuming you don't.
I think there's four fights
tweeting you, that's all.
Yeah, four fights on the broadcast. I think 2:20 start. 3:24. My gut feeling is about 4:30 for Khan.
Yeah, so don't tweet. Like, if you listen to this, don't tweet, Buncey.
Oh, they tweet all night long.
Floyd Mayweather.
I reply all night long. I'm a polite man.
Floyd Mayweather fighting Marcus Medina, who, of course, has fought Amir Khan in that tremendous fight way back in 2010 now, which Amir Khan won, and it was a brilliant fight. And he's been involved in some good ones since then as well. He lost to Devin Alexander as well. He's fought Adrian Broner, of course, and won, inflicted his first defeat of his career on a unanimous 12-round decision, and Broner was down in rounds 2 and 8. Floyd Mayweather barely needs me to really talk about his record. 45 wins, 26 by stoppage, and then there's that big fat O in the middle. Do you think he'll ever be beat, Buncey? I mean, people are saying Maidana's made for him. This is for the WBC welterweight title, the WBA Super World welterweight title. This would be a huge shock of all. You know, we thought Broner might have a chance against him, didn't we? And maybe he posed him a few problems, Maidana. But I mean, you know, Mayweather's like Broner times a million, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it would rank as one of the biggest shocks. One of the big shocks. However, you know, you've got to look at some stats, and you've got to look at some bits and pieces of the age, the fact that I think Maidana's a better fighter than people give him credit for. I think he closes down the space better than people give him credit for. I think he throws that right hand beautifully, and he throws it long, and he keeps throwing it, which is why he kept on catching Broner with it, Broner mimicking what Floyd does. And I think Maidana worked out a way to get his three or four inches closer of his feet, throw the punch and lean over, protected himself. I'm trying to make a case here for reasons why Maidana can make it difficult, make it tricky. I think there's also the fact that, you know, that Floyd expects to win, everyone expects him to win. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see Floyd going into a shell on boxing. I think Maidana will do, believe it or not. a better job than Guerrero and a better job than Alvarez, the two victims last year, who, in my opinion, barely won a round between them and barely tried to win a round between them. I think they were very disappointing. Now, Maidana could get done in 9 or 10 rounds, could follow down the Ricky Hatton pattern, but that would still, in my opinion, be a better performance than the two guys last year who went to 12, grabbed the money and left the ring with their chins on their chest. I fancy Mayweather on points. That's the sensible, version of it. However, if he really pushes in Maidana, don't be at all surprised if Mayweather has to stand and deliver, and don't be then at all surprised if Mayweather gets to him and stops him in the last 4 or 5 rounds. Wouldn't surprise me that, because Maidana's going to have to go for it. He's not going back to Argentina without a bruise on his face. I'm sorry, he's not.
No.
There's no way.
He doesn't see the tight as he wants to, be fair.
You know, and Alvarez overthought the fight. Sol Canelo Alvarez last September. He overthought it in his head. Instead of doing it, he tried to think about things. Yeah. And now what happened is he'd listened to Mayweather say, you know, people rush, think they can just win by rushing in wild, or they can't. Well, here's the thing. No one's tried it. Mm. Mayweather tells you you can't do it, so no one's doing it. No one's tried it. Who's tried it? No one. Ricky tried it, and for 6 rounds, the fight was competitive. 7 rounds, the fight was competitive. No one's tried. Mayweather's telling you. It's a brilliant subliminal message. No one can beat me. They just rush in wild. They think they can, but they can't. So the first thing you're doing is you're thinking, I can't do it. Don't be at all surprised. There's a lot of difference between rushing in wild and putting pressure on, keeping your hands up, cutting down the ring, and also whacking Mayweather. Maidana's going to hit him on the back of the head. First moment Mayweather shows him nothing with that body turn, with the elbow high, Maidana's going to hit him on the back of the head. Mayweather's going to be complaining to the referee inside 1 minute of this fight. Right. Interesting to see what the referee does. Yeah. That's what Maidana's going to do. Because Maidana's saying, well, if he's turning his back on me, basically what he's doing, so half the target is the back of his head, which in theory is illegal. What am I meant to hit?
Mm. Yeah, that will be interesting.
Because you know, when the referee brings them together in the middle of the ring, he instructs how low they can hit. He says the top of the band or the bottom of the band on the shorts, doesn't he? He doesn't point to the side of your ear and say nothing this side is legal, everything this side is legal, does he?
No.
See my point?
Yeah.
However, if you think about the way Mayweather stands, he turns his back. So half of his face is gone, so you see the back of his head. So that's an illegal blow.
Mm.
Now, Maidana, if he keeps clipping him around the back of the head, which he will do, that's what he'll try and do, Mayweather's going to complain. Now, this is where it's up to the referee. If the referee says, get on with it, then it could be interesting.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see a masterclass from Mayweather, because I think Maidana makes it really difficult for him.
Yeah.
I really do. And that's not to say that Maidana would beat Alvarez or Guerrero. That's not what I'm saying. But he is just a different type of fighter. And he will not fall into any of the do-what-I-tell-you-to-do traps that fighters do.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That fighters fall into.
Yeah, interesting that, isn't it? And you know, without wanting to, I won't go down this road, but the one fighter who would definitely do that would be Pacquiao, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
If Pacquiao
stands in front of you, and he stands square on, he rubs his hands up and down, he jogs on the spot, and he charges in.
Yeah.
All right, now here's the thing. Matador or no Matador, he would catch him. And what's more, in 2008, 9 and 10, he would definitely have caught him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we forget this. All the Mayweather lovers forget he vanished for 18 months to avoid fighting certain people. It's all convenient.
Mm, yes, it is. Yeah,
he's brilliant at marketing. Yeah, he's brilliant at the money they're going to generate. It's fantastic for the economy. The fourth highest gate ever in Vegas history. You know, this would be a top 10 pay-per-view of all time. He could win the fight on his back foot and not get hit with a shot. Surely at some point, someone has to say, hold on a minute, we're in the entertainment business. Because I'm not buying that suddenly there are millions and millions of boxing purists out there going, oh, that's beautiful the way he didn't get hit there. Rubbish. You ever been in a pub or a changing room, right, or surrounded by 50 boxing fans, male or female, and they go, oh, beautiful the way he didn't get hit? Never. That's a statement you're never going to hear.
Everyone wants to get hit, don't they?
Thank you.
The odds, 1 to 10 Mayweather, which, you know, when you think back to the Tyson days, he was much shorter than 1 to 10 to win fights, I guess, like this. 33-2 on the draw, and Maidana 6 to 1. Mayweather on points is 4 to 7. By stoppage is 6 to 4. And that includes disqualification, by the way, with what Bunch has just been talking about. Maidana by stoppage is 9 to 1, and Maidana by decision is 16 to 1. Would be a huge upset to of course, as Buncey was talking about there. You can back on the under and over rounds, of course. Under, 9 rounds and under is 7-4. 10 rounds and over is 2-5, so very short. As Buncey was saying, not many knockouts on or stoppages on Mayweather's record. I think 2 in the last 10, and one of those was Ortiz when, of course, he that daft thing where he held his hands up and Mayweather hit him on the sly, if you like. And the other one was
Hatton. It was a sucker punch.
And the other one was Hatton, who, as you say, came forward and had a go and got stopped.
That's the hardest fight Mayweather's had in the last 10 years, apart from Oscar De La Hoya.
Yes, yeah, true. But no real surprise then, Buncey. You'd be happy with that 4-7 on the decision. Maybe that and Khan to win on points would be maybe a double.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and you could the odds aren't available right now for the Anthony Ogogo fight, but when that when they pop up, maybe you could just stick him in to win as well. I mean, it's over 2-1 for Mayweather and Khan, both by decision this weekend.
Bingo,
so,
that's not bad.
That's not bad at all. Thanks very much, Buncey. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure, Leo.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
yeah.
Sam.
Cheers, Buncey. You'll catch Steve, of course, and the rest of the team on Box Nation covering those fights, as Buncey mentioned. And there's some decent ones coming up next week as well. Martin Gethin versus Derry Matthews among them. So make sure you check out that Box Nation offer we mentioned earlier in the podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. If you haven't bet on any of the boxing this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.